All right. Why don't we open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4 again. Get back into our study and what we're looking into here for the last several weeks on the issues of Cain and Abel. My cold is still pretty bad, so we'll try and make it through today. I am going to the doctor tomorrow, so get one of those antibiotics, hopefully, and make me better. So, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance foul. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. All right, in verse 1, we've been talking about the issues of Cain and Abel. And we see here, we started off the subject matter when we talked about how Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they brought the curse of death into the creation that was around them. But there was a promise given to Eve, a promise that of her seed, one would be born that would crush the head of the serpent. And she has these two children, Cain and Abel. And Cain's the one that she thinks the promise is going to be in. Cain's the one that she thinks that is going to restore all things to the way it was before they sinned. And Abel sort of put off to the side as someone that's useless, that's vain, that has no promise attached to his name. He's just, you know, secondary in their thinking. But in verse 2 we see, and she bare again his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And we see how each one goes into different occupations, and we talked about that a little bit, how Cain goes into the occupation of his father Adam, and Cain and Adam work together in the field, and Adam's able to take Cain into the business and show him how to till the ground. But Abel, he's off with the sheep into an occupation that's looked down upon by the world as an abomination, as something that's useless or is forgotten. But something happens in verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. There came a time when they had to bring an offering unto the Lord. And we've talked a lot about this too, how there was a lot of teaching and instruction back then in this very first family. There was a lot of understanding of God's word in the sense of, what sin was, you know, who they were, you know, the serpent. We went into a lot of those things. And in verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that after they reached an age where Cain and Abel had to bring an offering unto the Lord. And this is one of the reasons why I would say Cain and Abel are twins, because they both come at the same time. And if this day was set as to the age of them, and they both come at the same day, well, then that would mean that they were twins. Now, if you don't want to think they were twins, that's fine. It's just my thought on the subject. But anyway, they both come on the same day. And Cain brings fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And we've talked about how this fruit of the ground that Cain brings is he's bringing his good works. And he's going to lay his fruit on that altar to the Lord. And he's laying his good works, and he's laying how good he is unto the Lord. And he's going to tell God, this is what I want you to accept. And verse 4, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flocks and the fat thereof. But Abel brings a lamb. And what we have here is a great, what do you call it when you got two things that are opposed to one another?
Contrast.
What? Contrast. Yes. What did you say? Economy?
Dichotomy.
Yes. See, I got to get a thesaurus. I keep saying that one of these days. But the great contrast or dichotomy between these two, between man's good works and the lamb that God requires. And here, right in the very first book of the Bible, we see God's able to boil everything down right here. Are you going to bring your good works? Or you, there's really nothing else you can bring but one of these two. There's no third option that you could bring unto the Lord. You're either going to come unto the Lord with what you want to give Him and what you deem acceptable, or you're going to come unto the Lord in faith and accept what He says is acceptable. That's the only two options out there. There's not a third. There's not a fourth. There's only two. And Cain and Abel represent these two types of offerings that people can bring. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go to Hebrews 11. Hold your finger in Genesis 4 still, because we're going to talk about this sacrifice a little bit now. What did I say? Hebrews 11, verse 4. For by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we talked about that last week, how Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, and how God had said that your righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees. Well, Abel's did, because Abel offered it by faith, and we're going to see that in a second here. Then a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So if you had to pick between the two, which one would you want to bring? If you had to go meet God, and you can bring one of two gifts, or one of two offerings to Him, and you know one is more excellent than the other, which one do you think you're going to bring? You know, if you had to meet the president, and the president was going to be here in an hour, and you had to bring him an offering, and you had two different objects you could bring, one you knew was more excellent, what are you going to bring to him? You know, if Michael Jordan was going to walk in. I mean, these things are simple for people. You know, everybody cleans their house and puts on their nice clothes when someone important comes over. But when they're going to go meet God, for some reason, they want to bring the less excellent. But they'll do it in the human realm. They'll bring the best that they can. You know, when you have someone important over, you're going to make your best turkey dinner. You're going to make your best pie or whatever. But when you're going to go meet God, people all of a sudden want to bring the less excellent sacrifice. But here, God tells us that Cain brings a more excellent one. And something happens here. And by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Something happened at that altar when Cain shows up and Abel shows up. Something happens to Abel that Abel was able to see and witness. He was able to witness something. And that witness told Abel that he was made righteous. You see that? There's a lot more that happened back at that altar than just, oh, they just came and they went back and Abel thought he was righteous and Cain wasn't. No, something took place there that allowed Abel to witness something. That allowed him to see something that declared that he had done right. And you know, Cain was able to watch this. And this is one of the reasons why Cain got so angry. Is that Cain stood there, and Cain was able to watch his brother become righteous before the Lord. And then when Cain puts his offering on, it doesn't happen for him. He doesn't gain that witness of righteousness that he was declared righteous by God. And that's one of the reasons why he gets so angry, is because he saw his brother, who Cain had declared as useless and as just a bum and as somebody that had no hope, because it was going to be Cain that was going to slay the serpent. But he sees his brother become righteous. Now, what was that witness? What did Cain witness that declared him righteous? And so let's go back to Genesis chapter 4 and see a little bit about what they do here. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. You see that, and of the fat thereof? that tells you that Abel just didn't lead his lamb to the altar, and then he sort of stood there and didn't know what to do with it. When that and when that verse tells you, and the fat thereof, that tells you something, that Abel did something to that lamb. And what it is he slew the lamb, and he cuts it up into pieces, and he puts it on the altar to God. Because the only way you're going to offer the fat thereof is if you've killed it and cut it up. Okay? So this wasn't something that Abel just, you know, oh, here's my lamb. And, you know, everybody thinks like these guys were just, you know, ignoramuses, and they didn't really know what they were doing because they were the first people, and they were just sort of, you know, this is the first sacrifice, really, so they're just sort of stumbling through. No. Abel knew exactly what to do with that lamb. That's why in Genesis 4:4 it says, he brings the fat thereof. And what's this going to turn out to be? This is going to be called a burnt offering. This is the offering for sin. If you go over to Leviticus chapter 1, God details this offering out to his people. In Leviticus chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 3. And God, in giving the law, we'll start in verse 1, and we'll get the context here. And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own will voluntarily, voluntary will, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar, that is, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his innards and his legs shall be washed in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire and of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats or for a burnt offering, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northwards before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle his blood right about the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood which is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water. And the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. You see there, you read that, and that was instructions God gave to Moses that was to be passed on to the children of Israel. And that was how they were to offer their burnt offering. And they were to bring, and if we were part of that Jewish nation, you know, and there's people that say, you know, we're spiritual Israel and everything. Well, these are some of the things you'd have to be doing. If you want to be Jewish in nature, and you want to be Jewish in their religion, you need to be offering these type of sacrifices. Because this was part of the law. You know, people say, oh, I want to keep the law, you know, the Ten Commandments. Well, this is just as much part of the Ten Commandments as any other part of the law. There's no difference. And so people today who want to go back to Israel's program and claim that they're, you know, spiritual Israel, they need to start doing these sacrifices if they want to be, you know, fully into that. But here the Lord gives great detail on how to bring this burnt sacrifice. Verse 4 in chapter 1. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And that's identifying yourself with that animal. Laying your sin upon it. And then you kill it. Verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And you bring the blood and you sprinkle the blood around the altar which is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. You take this lamb, and when it says you flay it, you literally kill it, and then you skin it. And you take the skin and you set that aside. And then you take the innards and you wash the innards. But in verse 8, and then you after you've cut it into its pieces, and the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. So you've got to have wood. You take this lamb. Abel put his hand on the lamb, identifying himself with the lamb. Then Abel took a knife and cut the lamb, shed its blood. Then he skinned it, and then he cut it into pieces with the fat thereof and placed it upon the altar, is what he did. And that tells me a lot. That tells me that Cain and Abel had a lot of information from God, that he had given them a lot of instruction on how to prepare for this day of atonement, this day where they were going to offer their offering. And when it tells me in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, that Abel brings the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, I know that Abel knew how to cut up that lamb. And he knew what he was doing. He was offering that lamb in a very specific way unto the Lord. And he puts it upon the altar as his burnt offering unto the Lord. And excuse me. And this is what Cain witnesses. And Cain is sitting there on the side watching his brother who didn't have to work in the field to grow his fruit, who all he was doing for the past however many years was just, you know, watching the sheep wander around eating grass. And here on the day, Abel goes out to the flock, gets a lamb, brings it to the altar, kills it, cuts it up, and puts it on the altar. And something's going to happen here that Abel's going to be declared righteous. But Abel knew exactly what he was doing. Abel understood these things. And one of the reasons you know that in verse 6, I'll just give you this, is you see how in verse 6 of Leviticus chapter 1, he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces, that he skins it. Go over to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 8. Leviticus 7, verse 8. Because that skin went to the priest. Verse 8. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. You see that? The skin of this sheep is given to the priest. That was part of their payment for doing this work. But turn back over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And this should bring to mind the offering that the Lord made. Verse 21. Genesis 3:21. This is after Adam and Eve sin, and God makes a sacrifice for them. And note the words in here. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You know what kind of offering the Lord God made Adam and Eve? It was a burnt offering. And when the Lord God made that offering for Adam and Eve, he did what he describes in Leviticus chapter 1. He brings a lamb, he kills it for them, he skins it, he offers a burnt offering, and then the Lord takes those skins and gives it to Adam and Eve to clothe themselves in. Clothing themselves in the sacrifice that God had made. So that's just something, you see how these things sort of tie together. You know, God gives you little snippets here, and then it's for you to study and to put them together. And when he says, you know, in Adam and Eve, that he clothed them with the skins of their sacrifice, well, that brings you back here to Leviticus and say, hey, yeah, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what God gives the priest to do. So Abel knew all this. He knew what to do with the lamb. And what I'm going to suggest here is what Abel witnesses, excuse me, what Abel witnesses is that he lays all this on the altar. And what I would suggest is that fire came down from God and consumed this burnt offering. And that's what Abel witnesses. Because with every burnt offering, we're going to see, there was fire with it. And with the burnt offering in the tabernacle to the Jews, there was a special fire that they were to use. Let's look at some other places. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. Let's look at some places first where this special fire comes down from God as a sign and as a witness. In chapter 18, verse 25. Excuse me. This is with Elijah. And he's going to have this contest with these priests of Baal over, whose God is God. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, "Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. See, these prophets of Baal are... They kill their lamb and they put it on the altar, and now they're calling for fire to come down from heaven as a witness and as a testimony to their God. Verse 28, "And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past," you know that verse 28, they cut themselves. Iraq's in the news, and we're learning a lot about the Muslim culture and some things like that. But they have these parades there on these holy days where they walk through the streets and they cut themselves. I don't know if you've seen that in the news. And they make themselves bleed as they're going down this big parade route as testimony to their faithfulness to their gods. It's just interesting how a lot of what they do today comes straight out of here. Verse 29, "And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces." You see that cutting the bullock in pieces? That's exactly what Abel did. And laid him on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. What Elijah's doing, he's saying, "Here, I'm going to make sure there's no way you guys can think that I started this fire some other way." So he kills the bullock. He puts it on the altar. He sets the wood up, puts the bullock in its pieces on the altar. Now he says, "Now let's pour some water on this thing just to make sure none of you guys can say that, I had a, little shenanigans going on here to start this thing on fire." Verse 35. "And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering at the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." So he's calling upon God as a witness and a testimony to the nation. "Let it be known to them, Lord." Verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And you see, fire comes down from heaven and consumes that burnt sacrifice here. And that fire came down from heaven as a witness and as a testimony to the people around him that God was God. And he did it in the face of the wrong of the idolic sacrifice of the Baal worshippers. And it didn't happen for the Baal worshippers, but it happened for Elijah. And that fire came down as a testimony and as a witness to them. Turn over to Judges chapter 6, or go back to Judges chapter 6. Judges 6. The same thing happens with Gideon. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I've... See, and this is Gideon talking back to the Lord. The Lord just told Gideon, you're going to kill all the Midianites. And Gideon's like a little confused, a little worried about it. Verse 17, he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee. Excuse me. And bring forth my present, and set it before thee, he said, and I will tarry until thou come again. Excuse me. Verse 19, and Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes, and an epeth of flour. And the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out under him, unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. So Gideon is asking for a sign of something that the Lord can give him, so he knows that what the Lord is telling him is true. Verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And so here Gideon, fire comes down and takes his sacrifice as a witness, as a testimony to Gideon that what God has said was true. David does this in 1 Chronicles. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. This fire, verse 26. Yeah, take a drink. Okay. My throat's just a little going on me here. David does this in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We'll just jump into here. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered a burnt offering and peace offering to call upon the Lord. And see, here Lord is, there's a curse coming upon Israel, and David runs and he offers this offering unto the Lord to try and appease the Lord in stopping this plague from running through Israel. And David, in verse 26, he builds an altar unto the Lord, and he offers a burnt offering. And he calls upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. You see that? Here, David, it happens to David again. And he calls upon, David cuts the lamb, puts it on the altar, and he prays unto the Lord. And you know what? Fire comes down out of heaven and consumes that burnt offering that David offers. And here, you know, fire is being used by God as a testimony, as a witness to these men, that what they had done appeased the justice and wrath of God. Solomon does the same thing in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7. When Solomon sets up the temple, verse 1, and when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their face to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You see, when Solomon builds the temple, there's this altar there. And when they lay that burnt offering upon that altar, Solomon prays unto the Lord. And you know what happens? You know what starts that fire there? A special fire that comes down from God. That comes down and receives that burnt offering. And because of that, the children of Israel witness God's acceptance of their offering. And they saw the glory of the Lord fill the house. But it all started because they prayed for that special fire to come down from heaven. You know, Solomon knew, and David did too. They didn't start their own fires underneath these things. They offered the sacrifice, and then they prayed. And what did they pray for? Well, they were praying for this fire to come down to show that their sacrifices were accepted. And that's what happened. Because they understood some things. That they understood that this fire was needed to give them witness and testimony to what they have done was correct. Go back to Leviticus chapter 1. Let's show you how this works. Leviticus chapter 1. I probably should have just started with this and then done it in reverse, but that's all right. This fire was a job of the priests to keep and to maintain. Let's see. We already went through Leviticus chapter 1. Go to, where did I get that from? Oh, yeah, that's chapter 6. Chapter 6. Actually, I'm trying to think which one we should start at. Let's just start at chapter 6. There was this fire, and it was the priest's job to keep it going. Chapter 6, verse 9. Verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen and his linen breeches. Drop down to verse 12. We're talking about the burnt offering here. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. And the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. You see, one of the jobs of the priest, when we see this a little bit, is we know there's this tabernacle that Moses makes and the priests make, and they have to carry it around with the Ark of the Lord and everything. And there's this, inside the tabernacle, right in front of it, there's this altar. And this is where they offered the burnt offering. And there's a fire in this altar. And it was the priest's job to keep this fire going forever. You see that? Verse 13, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. And if you were a priest and you were a part of the Levitical tribe, one of your jobs would be to keep this fire going every morning and every evening. You would be adding wood unto it. Because there was a special fire in that altar that it was your job to keep going. To keep that fire going. It wasn't your job to let that fire go out and then start a new fire. No, God wanted that initial fire kept going. Because there was something special about that. It was a fire that God had started. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 10, I think it is. verse 9. Chapter 9. Verse 22. And Aaron, Aaron lifted up his hand towards the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offerings and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And here they're offering these offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came out a fire. There came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed the altar and the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. You see that? When Moses and Aaron offer this offering on this altar after they set it up, they come out of the tabernacle. And what the Lord does is he sends a fire out into this altar. And it's the Lord's fire that consumes the burnt offering. Verse 24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord. And this fire starts this altar. And it's going to be the priest's job now to keep that fire lit all the time. Because that was a special fire that came from God Himself. As we're going to see, that fire is going to equal the judgment of God. It's His judgment that consumes that sacrifice. And that's why it's the priest's job now to keep that fire going eternally or forever, to keep adding wood to it. Not to let it go out and start a new one, but to keep adding to it so it continues to burn. But look what happens here in verse 10, in chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You see here, Aaron's two sons think they're going to help God out a little bit. And they take their censers and they're going to offer some incense to the Lord. And what they do, they start their own fire to start their incense on fire. You know what the Lord does? He kills them. Because they offered, what does it say in there? Strange fire. See, there's something very special, I don't know, about this fire from God. There's a fire from God, and then there's something he calls a strange fire. Something that's outside of his, something that he didn't start. And he wouldn't accept that. And if you tried to offer strange fire before God, you know what? He killed you. That's why Solomon, when he builds the temple, he prays to God to start that altar on fire, so that priests can keep it going. So they weren't offering sacrifices with strange fire. Solomon understood that. So did David. They understood that there was a fire that came from God Himself that would display His acceptance, and that His judgment would be poured out upon that sacrifice and accepted. And these two guys of Aaron's sons offer strange fire, and they get killed. God consumes them. Turn over to, let's see, Numbers chapter 18. Numbers 18. Numbers 18, 17. See, the sacrifice is only made good by the fire. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. You see, it's the fire that makes the offering acceptable. Not just the offering itself, but it's the judgment of God being consumed in that offering that makes the offering acceptable and a sweet savor unto God. That's what it is. Turn to Leviticus chapter 16. Let me show you one last thing. Leviticus 16. About this fire. Leviticus 16, verse 12. Remember how Aaron's two sons offered strange fire from incense? Well, what they were supposed to have done is in Leviticus 16, verse 12, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire. Now, where did they get this fire from? From off the altar before the Lord. And his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. You see, if you were going to bring incense unto the Lord, you were supposed to get that fire from this altar. You know, people think you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but you know how hard it would be to be a Jew living underneath the law? You would have to know these things verbatim. We have churches mobbed with people thinking they're Israel. You know how hard it is? If you didn't know that passage, and it was your turn to offer incense unto God, and you take out your Bic lighter, and you light your little, you know, your little thing, and you're going to go into the tabernacle, you know what's going to happen to you? You're dead. Oh yeah, I forgot Leviticus chapter 16. I mean, these things are serious. And we got people running around today thinking they're Jews when they're not. And if they were, they got a lot of reading and a lot of, you know, understanding to gain. But here, this censer, they take it from coals of fire from that altar. That was the appropriate way. So this fire is really important to God. And this fire is used as a witness and as a testimony to those around Him. But what's interesting, go to Revelation chapter 8. Show you where this... In Revelation chapter 8, you know, there's a... whatever you see on earth here, it's a type of the real in heaven. And the altar that we have on earth, that the Jews had, and this tabernacle and everything, was a picture of what goes on in heaven. Because in heaven, there's an altar there. And that's where this fire comes from. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, let's see, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire. This is John looking at, he's in heaven, he's before the throne, and he's seeing what's going around him. And well, this, you know, we can start in verse 2, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood on the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. See, there's this altar before the throne that John sees. And these angels are doing the same things that the priests were commanded to do. And the smoke and the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. You see, what I'm trying to just point out to you is that there's this altar in heaven that has fire in it. And the angels even know that when they have to offer up their censers, they go to that altar and they take the fire from there. The same thing as the priests had to do here is what they had to do. So this fire is very special to God. That's why you couldn't offer strange fire with your burnt offering. And your burnt offering was only acceptable when it was given with the right appropriate fire that God sent down. And what's really interesting, I got to find it here, is, go to Revelation chapter 13. There's one coming who's going to claim to be God. And one of the witnesses and testimonies he's going to give is the fact that he can bring fire down from heaven. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. You see that? When the Antichrist shows up and his program's in full swing, he's going to be able to go out there and call and bring fire down from heaven to deceive those around him. See how important it is to understand this issue of, well, this issue of fire and this issue of where, what it is? Because in the end time, in the period of Jacob's trouble, the Antichrist is going to be able to go out there and call upon God, and fire is going to come down from heaven to deceive those around him. But fire is used as a great wonder. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This fire is mimicked and is copied by Satan in the last days in order to try and show the world, to deceive them, that he's God. And what he does, he mimics and he copies God. Because God's the originator of this fire. He's the originator that used it. And so when Abel offers his sacrifice, there has to be fire there. And I would say to you that that fire, what Abel witnessed in Hebrews 11, what he witnessed was that fire coming down from God and consuming that burnt sacrifice. Now, I'm not going to make you believe that. That's what I believe. And I am fully persuaded that that is what happened there at that altar. Because no burnt sacrifice is good without fire. And God had used fire many times as a witness and as a testimony. And Abel witnessed something, and I would say Abel witnessed the fire of God coming down and consuming that burnt sacrifice that was there. And that's what he saw. And that's how Abel knew he was declared righteous. And when Cain put his fruit on that altar, and he prayed to God for that fire, and it didn't come, that's how Cain knew he was not declared righteous. And that's why Cain gets angry. Because he knew that what he had put down, God did not accept. And it's interesting about this fire. You know, turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 13. Well, we have verse 11. And I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And there's this day coming, this great white throne, where all men, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, that is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, if you don't accept the burnt offering and how God's judgment was consumed in that offering in your place, there's going to be a day where you're going to experience that fire in the lake of fire. There's going to be a day where God's judgment is going to be, okay, so you didn't want to accept my sacrifice of my son. You want to be your own sacrifice, that's fine. Now, go live in my judgment of fire. That's what's going to happen. And if you don't accept and stand in awe at what should have happened, Cain should have stood there and saw this fire come down from God and devour this sacrifice and been so amazed and so frightened by the judgment that God poured out and the ferocity of that, that he should have been like, Abel, you got another lamb? Because what that showed was God's judgment being poured out onto that sacrifice. But men today are walking into God's judgment, open-eyed, saying, I can take it. And they won't be able to. Because it's a judgment that will last forever in the lake of fire. And people should have been... You ever wonder why the Lord Christ, when he was on earth, and he's sweating great drops of blood on his way to the cross? Because he knew on that cross, God's judgment was going to be poured out upon him. And he knew how awful that was. And men today should be sweating and should be pouring great drops of blood out of their temples in fear of this judgment of God that's coming to them. And they should be running to the cross because that's where Jesus Christ paid it all. Turn over to Genesis chapter 22. We'll end with this. Genesis 22. Verse 8. And Abraham said, this is Abraham, he was going to offer up Isaac. And God intervenes. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went up of them together. See, Jesus Christ came as the lamb to offer himself that burnt offering. The one that, and it was upon him that the judgment of God was poured upon. And he became sin for us. And suffered that eternal fire of vengeance. So that now we can escape that by putting our faith like Abel did in the Lamb in what God said. So the fire is important to God. It's something that I believe Abel witnessed. It was something that was needed. And for Abel to have witnessed something, I say he witnessed this fire come down from God, consume that sacrifice, and Abel knew he was justified and righteous. And that didn't happen for Cain. And we'll talk about Cain's offering next time. But let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the age of grace where things are made so simple for us. And we don't have to go find a sheep or a lamb or a bullock. And we don't have to kill it and dress it and cut it up. We don't have to pray for your fire to come down from heaven. All we have to do is accept your word. We have to just put our faith in what your son did for us on the cross and how he died for our sins. And when we read that he bore our penalty, may we have a better and a fuller understanding that Jesus Christ suffered the vengeance of God, the justice of God on sin in our place. And when we remember that, may it enlighten our hearts and make us stand in wonder and awe of God and all that he has done for us. In your name, amen.